How do you handle crisis that comes into your life? There may be a number of forms that crisis takes. A number of years ago, I had a kidney stone. And for that period of time in my life, it was about 4 months, that's all I could think about, the discomfort and pain of it. Sometimes crisis comes in and it may be medical. Sometimes crisis comes in, it may be job related. You're working and all of a sudden the boss comes in and says, bye-bye. I've had that happen to me in my life. 1983, June 16th, I'll never forget the day. Sometimes crisis can be in relationships. There can be difficulties in relationships. And it's just tough to work through those and get through those times. What I'd like to do this morning is talk to you a little bit about what do you do during those crisis times? What do you hang on to? How do you survive? We're going to continue in our study this morning in the life of Daniel. We're going to watch him handle a crisis that is probably much larger than anything I've just described. And what we want to walk away with is one key thought today of how we handle those crisis times. I've been in a series now for a while, and the series is entitled Living in 2004. The words that we're going to look at this morning were written 2,500 years ago, but they're right where we live today. They'll touch our hearts. And today's message is entitled Surviving Crisis in Our Society. Everything I've talked about through these first 6 chapters, I've related it to our society because that is what it involves. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 6, and that is on page 630. So if you don't have a Bible, you're going to need one, but we've provided them for you. And so if you'll open up to page 630, we're going to look at this. Just briefly, Daniel was living a normal life. All of a sudden, his whole world was turned upside down. An invading army came in, gathered up the best of the youth, and took them 1,100 miles away. And they spent the rest of Daniel's life serving God in a foreign country. And we've looked at the different parts of that. You know what? Daniel has now served in with three different rulers. And he's survived all of them and he's been blessed in all of them. And so when we look at the longevity of his life and service, we got to say this man did some things that were good, that were right. And so we've looked at the flaming furnace a couple of weeks ago. Today we're going to look at one of those famous stories. I'm sure you heard it when you were younger. I know I did, just before I was going to bed. This is when I was a lot younger. And my parents told me about Daniel in the lion's den. I was going to sing a song, but I can't remember all the words of it. Daniel spent the night with lions. He could have ended up a midnight snack. Daniel spent the night with lions. I can't remember the next line. Kevin, do you know that one?
I know he got away.
And so he got away. All right, very good. Kevin, you're supposed to know all those songs, aren't you? All right. Daniel chapter 6, we're going to begin. And what I'm going to do is just go through this story. It's interesting, in the book of Daniel, you have a lot of stories. And I just think this is the best way to do it, to read through it. I'm going to make some comments as we go. Then I'm just going to wrap it up with a couple of ending thoughts in regard to what is going on here. Last week, we saw that a new ruler took over. His name is Darius, whatever. We know who we're talking about. And let's look at chapter 6. It says this, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over all the kingdom. So Daniel's now one of the key guys. And he is so exceptional in his ability and qualities to rule. And he has such respect that the king is saying, I'm going to make this man number 2. the whole kingdom. Now, do you think that caused some problems with some of the Babylonians to have a Jew promoted to that position? Would that cause problems? Absolutely it would. But Daniel was just doing the right thing, doing the best job that he could. And so, the story continues. Verse 4. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs. You know what? But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy, neither corrupt nor negligent. In other words, they say, we got to find something on Daniel. We can get this guy out of here. We don't want him in here, this Jew. They tried and tried and tried, but they came up empty. In Daniel's workplace, he was exemplary. Let me ask you a question. How are you in your workplace? If they tried to go after you, would you have the kind of example that Daniel does? Wow. Daniel was exemplary in his workplace. They could find nothing wrong. Verse 5. There we go. Finally, these men said, hey, you know what? We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. These guys are smart. So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, oh, King Darius, live forever. They're just a bunch of suck-ups is what these guys are. All right, verse 7. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. In other words, they go in and they know we can't trip Daniel up, except maybe concerning his God. And so they say, you know what, king? We're going to make you king for a month. Everybody's got to pray to you. Nobody can pray to anybody else. And do you think that appealed to the king? Sure it did. Sure it did. And so he agreed. Verse 10. Now, I'm sorry, where am I at? Am I verse 8? Thank you. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians. You ever heard that phrase? This is where it comes from. In other words, it can't be changed, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. In other words, he said, this is set, I've done it. Verse 10, now you're Daniel, you're going to hear about this. Maybe your email came to Daniel. Wait a minute, he didn't have email. Maybe his pigeon dropped it off. I don't know. He found out some way, and he had a choice to make. Look with me at verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. He was very busy. He had a lot to do, but his custom was three times a day to spend time with God. Interesting. I could go on a whole rabbit trail here about, and I think it could be done. I'm not going to do it this morning, where we talk about, is there a time where you disobey your government? I could go down that rabbit trail because I think this verse lends itself to that. I'm not going to do that, but it's an interesting discussion, and I will at some other time. He did, though. Verse 11, in this case only. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. All righty. So they found him out. Oh, we got him now. It's not in the Bible. We got him. He's toast. He's ours. Who knows, there was surveillance going on. There had to have been. Probably Daniel didn't make any secret of this either. He's going to pray to God. It's going to be done with an open window. Then these men went as a group, found Daniel praying. All right, which verse am I on? 12? What would I do without you guys? All right, verse 12. So they went to the king. All right, yeah, thank you. Somebody stay up with where I'm at when I stop here so I can stay on track. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. King, King, did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? Then the king is thinking, uh-oh, yes, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. They said, O king, Daniel, one of those exiles from Judah, those Jews, pay no attention to you, O king, or to the decrees you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. Now, this is kind of interesting. These guys are nasty, tricky, cruel. They may be the first century lawyers. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But they are sneaky. They are going to figure out a way to bring Daniel down. Verse 14. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. All right, it's interesting. He found out this king is not dumb. He figured this one out. We'll know that by the end of the chapter with what happens. But he figured this out. And he tried to get out of it. But it was written in the laws of the Medes and the Persians. Couldn't be revoked, repealed. It's interesting, as you look at this story. We looked at the story a couple of weeks ago, and I really like what happened in that story where they faced a fiery furnace. And at that point, King Nebuchadnezzar, what he did is he called Daniel in, and he got a firsthand account of what Daniel experienced at that point. In other words, he heard something, and he confirmed it himself. Now, this king didn't do that. This king heard something, at least we don't have the record of him doing that recorded in Scripture. Make sure if you hear something about someone or something, you get both sides of the story. That is important. This king didn't do that. He did everything he could, though, to get him out. Verse 15. When the men went as a group to the king and said to him, "Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." Well, he knows that. These dummies are reminding him of that, and he's probably not in a real good mood about that, but he couldn't. So, he had no choice. The king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." All right. They had furnaces around Babylon. They also had lion's den. And what they had is an enclosure. It could have been down into the ground or it could have been above ground. I've seen just both of these. And there's an opening in the top. And they would take the opening and set it to the side. And they would lower people down into the lion's den, put the roof piece back in, and then seal it. Now, what's the closest you've ever been to a lion? Okay. They're usually pretty mellow, aren't they? Pretty docile, pretty laid back. The closest I have ever been to a lion other than the zoo is at the Wild Animal Park. And it scared me to death. You know, on the first part of the tram, you take away and you go over the lion thing. And you know what? I've been there half a dozen times, and every time but one. I've never seen any lions. All they do is sit and do nothing. They're lazy and they sleep 22 hours a day or something. And so I remember I was at the edge of the car, and I was thinking, well, here's another no-lion show as I go to the Wild Animal Park. What was interesting this time is that at one point you're fairly close. It probably is 20 feet above them. And I will never forget just thinking, oh, here we go again. And I looked down, and they were walking. And it scared me to death. These are just powerful. I couldn't believe how big their paws are. In their mouth. And they were just walking along. They were paying no attention to us. They walked along, moving from one shade area to another. That frightened me. It did. It caught me by surprise. They are powerful, powerful animals. They were also hungry. They had a ferocious appetite. They liked to eat. And they liked to eat a lot. So, the king walks over there. He says, I bet you, we don't know. He had words with Daniel and said, "Brother, I'm sorry to do this, but I'm stuck here." He had words with him. put him in. All right. Do you think he slept that night? Do you think the king slept that night? Let me tell you about the king. When you're the king, you get to enjoy the best of everything. A typical evening for a king was a great meal and entertainment. And everybody that came into the king's presence was up and good and happy. We've learned that a number of times. We saw that in the book of Nehemiah, where he came in down and depressed. Nehemiah did. And the king says, "What's wrong?" And Nehemiah's thinking, "I could lose my head for this." You need to understand that about the king. He enjoyed all of that. And it was something probably he looked forward to. All right. I think I'm at verse 18. 17, thank you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. In other words, he's in there for the night. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating, without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. The king could not sleep. I wonder if Daniel did. Daniel may have used a lion for a pillow that night. You know what? We don't know. The king couldn't sleep. I wonder if Daniel just kind of snuggled up with those lions. Kind of like we have a new dog, and it jumps up on our bed and it likes to snuggle with us. I wonder if he did that with the lions. We don't know. Maybe we'll ask Daniel when we get to heaven. I don't know what he did. We'll have to ask him. At the first light of dawn, verse 19, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. Now that's interesting. He gets up. I'm sure he hadn't done that before. When he came near to the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Has he done this?" And then he just listened. Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." Wow. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had what? Trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and their children. Wow. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. These were hungry lions. I can't imagine this scene. Dropping family members through the hole into it. Before they ever got to the ground, they were destroyed. Some people say, well, the lions weren't hungry. That's why Daniel wasn't eaten. Read the next verse. They were hungry. Interesting. The whole family suffered. In this society, if the parents did wrong, the whole family suffered. That's a Babylonian society. God's society is not that way. It's just very interesting. That in Deuteronomy 24:16, God makes it clear, Deuteronomy 24:16, that children do not suffer for the sins of their parents. But in the Babylonian society, they did. That's tragic. God said, no, we're not going to have the whole family suffer for the sins of the parents. 25, then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations of every language throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of the kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and into the reign of Cyrus the Persians. Nifty little story. Daniel is now about 80 years old. When we started with Daniel in chapter 1, 16, I think, he's now 80. He served God faithfully, and we have some amazing, amazing stories that we can look at that help us. He's now 80. He served God faithfully, and we have some amazing, amazing stories that we can look at that help us understand more of how God would have us live. This has to do with a crisis. His crisis is, I'm doing the right thing for you, God, and all of a sudden, circumstances beyond my control, I'm in the lion's den. That was his crisis. Now, what I want you to do is go to your outline. Let's look at just some ideas here, some thoughts about handling your own crisis. All right, on your outline, I have a New Testament insight. The first thing we need to look at, and it's in Hebrews 11:33. So I think on your outline you write down Hebrews 11:33. It says this, who through faith, Hebrews 11 is a great faith chapter, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Read the next line with me. Who shut the mouths of lions by faith, by trusting in God. We see many stories throughout the Old Testament. This one specifically is relating back. Hebrews 11 is relating to Daniel chapter 6. It's important.
It has to do with faith. Okay, second thought. It's going to be Daniel 6:23.
The king was overjoyed, and he gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had what? Trusted in his God. On your outline then, there's a little section there that says Daniel 6:23 tells us. One of the keys, I believe one of the major keys to this story, tells us that Daniel faced his trial, his crisis, whatever, by having what? Trusted in God. I don't know what your crisis is. And I know in this church there have been some huge ones recently. I don't know what it is. But one of the things you cannot let go of is your faith in God. You may feel like letting go of that, but you can't. Daniel trusted in God. Can you imagine earlier in his life he was bound and thrown into the fiery furnace? Here, he's not even bound, but he's just let down into a lion's den. God's going to use you. He's going to take you through some crisis times. They're going to be difficult and hard. You're going to have trust in Him that He knows what He's doing. Okay, our key then,
one key to handling crisis times in our lives is by having faith in God. This is real simple. It's a whole lot easier to live it than to say it.
You have to have faith in God. When things come into your life, the one thing you cannot let go of is your faith in God. Hang on to Him. Trust in Him. That is what Daniel said. I guess it comes down to this. Do you trust Him? Do you believe that God knows what He is doing? That's what it comes down to. It's interesting. James 1 tells us. Let me throw some New Testament in here in addition to that. James 1 says to be in prayer. Ask for wisdom in your crisis and in your trial. Talks about obey the Lord. It talks about being together with others. Do not go through a major crisis without others with you. That's what a church is about. That support, that encouragement.
All right.
Final thought. Final thought is this, and this is really, really, really important. Daniel 6:10. Read this verse with me. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. How often did Daniel spend time with God? He was consistent with God. He was faithful with God. So when the crisis came in his life, it wasn't like, oh, wait a minute, I got to get back with God. It was nothing like that. Daniel was tight with God. Let me tell you what. The walk with God involves being tight with Him. And it's a choice you and I make. The thought that comes out of this on your outline,
the thought is this. Guys, you got to be faithful. I got to be faithful too. Hang on. We must be faithful in our relationship to God before our crisis comes. One of the things that Daniel did is he spent time consistently with God. Are you doing that? Are you being faithful to Him? So when these crises come, it's not like getting reacquainted with God. It's like, okay, God, I know I'm in a tough one now. Help me ride this one out. Help me honor You. Help me to glorify You. Daniel was faithful in the routine of life so he could express faith in the crisis of life. Men and women, if you are going to trust God in the crisis, you need to be faithful in the routine of life. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend with God this week? Personal question. How much time did you spend in prayer with God? Oh, I'll tell you. Would you be embarrassed if I asked you to stand up and say it? Men and women, you've got to be faithful with God day in and day out, consistent with Him. When those crises come, this is one of the great lessons of Daniel 6, you can ride through them because you've been walking faithfully and steadily with God. We teach here at the church relationship to God. It starts in Firm Foundation class. I know a number of you have been there. This fall, I'm going to have another Firm Foundation class. If you've not been through that, we talk about walking with God. We have a growth track that helps you to walk with God. There's other steps. You've got to be faithful in your relationship to God. Sometimes Christians tell me, and I've done this before, I've got a word from God. You know one of the things I ask them? Tell me about your walk with God. How often do you spend time with Him? And if they're honest, say, well, I haven't spent much time with God. Be real careful about that. When you think you hear a word from God and you're not spending any time with God, it could be, but then again, it may not be. Be real careful. Be faithful in the routine of life. So when the crisis comes, you can weather it. Amen? Thank You, Lord, for just this opportunity to look at this great, great story. Thank You for Daniel's walk. Thank You that he didn't give up his relationship with You, even though it could cost him everything. Lord, thank You for the faith that he had. And yet, today as we live our lives, we have to go one step at a time with You also. Help us to be continually walking with You day by day, so that when the valleys come, we can know You're there. We can be close with You. Lord, we thank You that we can give. Thank You that we can serve, and we do that gratefully. I hope as a result, just of being encouraged by this message, walk closer with God. Because the crisis will come. They can take a variety of different forms. Walk close with Him. So when they do come, you can go through them. Amen? Daniel chapter 7 through 12 all has to do with prophecy. And I'm going to stop the book of Daniel at this point. I'll come back and do that another time. And I'm going to take a couple weeks off. I'm going to come back and we're going to do a couple weeks on prayer. And so I'm looking forward to being with you. God bless you today. Have a great day. Greet one another. And we'll see you later.